Good morning. I'm BJ Stagner, pastor of Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's sermon is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you.
All right, so we're going to be in 1 Peter in chapter 4 today. 1 Peter chapter 4. What a blessing it is to be here. Honor it was to have and celebrate the Lord's death and his and showing his death in the Lord's table this morning. I do pray that was a blessing to you. And I'm excited about being in the house of God. I'm excited about being in church. yesterday, I just remember thinking about this message all day long. And in all fairness, it's a bit of a simple message, if we know the truth. It came out of my scripture writing several days ago. And I think it's quite simple, but I believe it's... I'm just excited about it. I can't even tell you why, amen? I can't even tell you why I'm so excited about it, but I really am today. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to be. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read those same verses again, but guys, we're really going to look at one verse today, one verse. So we're in 2 Peter in chapter 4, and I'll get this thing situated before I get tangled up with it too much. There we go. So I think I've broken it. 1 Peter chapter 4, look with me in verse 7. Get this situated. There we go. All right. Give me 2 seconds here. All right. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to speak to you today on the thought of the end of all things is at hand. Father in heaven, thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here together with one another. Thank you, dear God, for your precious gift of eternal salvation. We can never be more grateful, Lord, of that salvation, that gift that you've given us. And Lord, a simple sermon today, I do pray that it would touch people's hearts. I pray that we will be provoked, convicted if so, encouraged, dear God, to just give you glory throughout every single day of our life. So I ask for your help this morning, Father, but I ask you to help me say the right words. But I pray for the touch of the Holy Spirit of God upon your people today. Pray that every soul here this morning will be tendered and touched by this grace of God, that the manifold wisdom of God will be seen, felt, and known in their own lives. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Beloved, Peter says there in verse 7, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Beloved, we would be amiss this morning if we thought that the days on this earth are not coming to an end. Honestly, whether it's in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we know that days are coming to an end. And I understand that it can be, and probably is to some, a bit of a morbid thought. Now, I don't mean for it to be by any stretch of the imagination. It's not to me. I assure you this morning that when we speak on this topic, the end of all things is at hand, I promise you that we are not meaning it to be morbid in any way, detrimental. In all fairness, this sermon this morning, in my heart, in my mind, may not even be all that convicting. It may be more comforting, and that's a blessing, amen. With the verse 7, where Peter says that the end of all things is at hand, this verse resonates on the heels of verse 6, and let's read that. Paul says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Now, verse 6 speaks of verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Guys, those verses, as we roll into verse 7 saying, but the end of all things is at hand, speaks of the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick, who is the living, and the dead, okay? And this judgment is going to happen in two different places for two different types of people. See, here's the thing, guys. When you become a child of God, or you remain lost in your world today, I know I understand the climate that we're living in today. I never have been necessarily moved to adjust my position, my stance, who I am, based on what politics is doing, based on what really and truly what was popular. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to be arrogant, trying to be disrespectful, trying to be mean to anyone. I'm not trying to do any of those things. But I'm not going to change biblical stance or principles because of political correctness. I'm not going to do that. If people in this world today have a problem with figuring out who and what they are based upon what God has created them as, that is their problem, amen? It's not mine, and don't make it mine, amen? Now, guys, here's the deal. When the quick and the dead stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, when we all, every person is going to stand before Jesus Christ at some time or not. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, for it is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this the judgment. That is every mankind, every soul that has ever been brought and conceived in this world and or created in this world, meaning the first two, amen, will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged, all right? Now, there are two types of people that we know that will be judged at two different types of location. Has nothing to do with wealth. Guys, when your life ends here, the richest man on the earth and the poorest lady on the earth, the most powerful lady in the world, the most weak man on all the planet, they will stand, you know, without all of those things before Jesus Christ as an open report to be read. I got news for you. Your language that you speak, it doesn't matter what language, or for that matter, how many you speak, it will not matter when you stand before Jesus Christ. That will earn you nothing. Amen? It doesn't matter the color of your skin. I don't care if you're purple. If you're purple, you'd probably be choking. I would care, so I'd do a Heimlich on you. Amen? But what I'm saying is race will do you no good when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your heritage is. It doesn't matter what your last name or your surname may be. It doesn't matter how many years you labored, how many years you were. It does not matter. Everyone is going to stand before Jesus Christ at some time in this world. Now, for the saved in the church age, the born again, those that have made Jesus Christ their Lord and glorious and wonderful Savior, those that are part of His body, all right, both the body that we have, we are going to give an account of what we have done in the body, the Bible tells us. Now, that's in our body, this physical body. We talked about this in one of the devotions this past week. I believe it was Thursday where I touched on the fact that we should ask ourselves if we're living a balanced life in the physical realm. Are we balancing our life physically, amen? Are we balancing our life spiritually? Was on Tuesday. And, of course, I touched a little bit on recovery or rest, if you will, on Thursday as well. But I'm saying all that to say this. You're going to give an account to what you have done in the body that you're sat in right now, as well as in the body of Christ. So if you were a born-again believer today, immediately after the catching up of the bride of Christ, otherwise known as the rapture. I know people have a problem with that word rapture. They do. The word rapture is not in the Bible. And the word's not. The definition is, and that's good enough for us. Amen? We'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So every believer today will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 13 through 15, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's all going to be known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, when you look at that word sort, okay, we're not going to dig into 1 Corinthians 3 very much, but what sort, it's simply this. In the body of Christ, as the child of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done. Watch these next few words, whether it be good or bad, period. It's that simple, guys. So, The Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in verses 5, 6, and then coming into verse 7, understanding that the end of all things is at hand, the end of all things is nigh unto hand, it's drawing to a close. The days of our life in this world, whether it be a physical death or whether it be the catching away of the bride of Christ, those things are coming to a close quite soon. And that's just the way it is, guys. Even if we see our death, even if we live to be 80, 90 years old, that day is drawing to a close. If the rapture happens tomorrow, okay, if it happens tomorrow, that day is drawing to a close. So we are nearer today than we were yesterday to the catching away of the bride of Christ, the return of Jesus Christ in the air. So for the saved, for the born again of the blood of Christ today, we are going to account for what we've done in the body of Jesus Christ and what we've done in this body. You say, well, why is this body so important? Can you glorify Jesus Christ without a body? No. You can't do anything without a body. If you didn't have that body that you're in right here today, there's nothing you could do, right? This world cannot see your faith unless they see it in your works. This world cannot see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ unless they see it in your actions. They see it in your attitude, how we treat people. You know, I touched on this yesterday in Faith or X about being a friend. It's going to cost you to be a friend. Jesus Christ said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is a sacrifice to being a friend. Now, I know we say, and I say this all the time, it doesn't cost one penny to be kind to someone, and I really don't think it does. It's not going to cost you any money to speak. You know, we passed three lots of people on the way to church this morning, walking over here to church. And all three, we spoke to all three, hey, good morning, how you doing? And they reciprocated right back, big smiles, walking their dog, you know, and doing this. You know, guys, those are small things, I understand. But, you know, Denise is in a dress, I'm in a shirt and a tie and a coat. Where do you think they think we're going on Sunday? They know we're going to church, man. You know, if it was during the week, they may think we're going to court. But anyway, they know we're going to church. They know we're representing people that go to church, amen. So if I walk by there with my backpack on my hand and I don't have time to speak to anybody and I got, you know, Mr. Frowny Face on and I don't want to speak to no one, you know, I'm looking down and all that, what do you think they're going to think of church people? That you're angry, that you're mean, that you're rude, and you know what? They don't want anything to do with you. But if you pass them every single Sunday, every single Wednesday on your way to church, hey, good morning, how are you doing? Hey, good morning, how are you doing? Hey, good morning, how are you doing? They're going to know, man, something may be a little bit different, or at least you're not an angry and ill person. Amen. Guys, it's gonna cost you a little bit of time to be nice to people. I mean, we're not looking at the verse, but Peter even talked about that charity there. He says, and above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. One of the greatest obstacles that I have in dealing with people in the world today, and it's not just in our location here, but it's all over the world, is how ill they were treated by those who went to the church prior to that. If I had a pound for every person that I heard has left church because they were mistreated in church, guys, man, I'd be a wealthy man right now, amen? But I'm saying all that really to make this point. I and you, as children of God, as being saved and born again, we are going to stand before Jesus Christ, who's going to judge the quick and the dead, and we are going to give a direct account of what we've done in this body here. This body is how you show your good works. This body is how you perform good deeds. This body is how you show your kindness and your love to those that are in the world. That's how you're going to do it. And guys, if you're saved and you're born again, you're not only showing it in this body, but you're part of the body of Christ. We're going to give an account to that. So there's two judgments, guys, for two sorts of people. Has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with heritage, has nothing to do with dialect, has nothing to do with looks, has nothing to do with riches or power. It has to do with whether or not the blood of Jesus Christ is rested upon your soul. The first lot are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, which is the church, the born-again believers, those who have been saved from the start of the church, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the commencement of the church when the Holy Spirit of God fell 10 days after his ascension on high, and those that were saved up to the very, very mere moments before the rapture happens. Then there's the second group of people that are going to be judged. Whether it be the Old Testament, the millennial saints, as well as the lost. Okay? Now, you may not have heard this. I know everybody says that the lost are judged at the great white throne judgment, and they are. But it's not only the lost that are judged at the great white throne judgment, but it's the millennial saints that are judged there. And it's also these Old Testament saints. Notice here from the screen, Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy which destroyed the earth. So, who is this group, guys? Well, obviously, the dead's going to be judged. The Lord is judging the quick and the dead. The dead is going to be, we'll see here in Revelation 20 in just a moment, those are those that have died, okay? They suffer. They're going to suffer the second death. They died without Jesus Christ. But there's also rewards given to a group of people. Let me go ahead and make something clearly, crystal clear to you this morning. This is none of you present today. This is none of you who have been watching online all morning, because you got the gospel earlier this morning. You heard it. If you rejected it, you will not have another chance to be saved if the rapture happens right now. If Jesus Christ yanks this church out of here this very second and you've heard the gospel, you'll never, ever, ever have a chance to be saved and born again. Paul is very clear about that. When he wrote back to the Thessalonians, he says that they had their opportunity. God himself will send them strong delusion, okay? So there's another judgment there. There's another judgment. The end of all things is at hand. So we know that this is the end of the millennial kingdom because it says it's the time when the nations were angry and the wrath of God should come. That's the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. So we know that's when it is. Revelation chapter 20, read this from the screen, if you will. The Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, plural, watch this, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever's not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the only reason the book of life is there at this judgment seat is a testimony for those names that are standing before of not being found in there. Now, guess who is standing before this day whose names are in that book of life and they're written down in there? It's those prophets, those Old Testament saints, and those millennial saints. But that's not what we're talking about so much. We find that the lost, those whose names are not written, those who did not get saved and born again during the church age, they are judged. How are they judged? They're not judged out of the book of life because their name's not there. They're judged out of the book of works that they committed. And therefore, their torment will be greater according to the works that they committed in the lake of fire. But let me tell you something. The lightest judgment in hell or in the lake of fire today is excruciating torment. Luke 16 tells us clearly that rich man lifted up his eyes and he looked unto Abraham, being in torments, plural. We don't even want to think, it should scare you senseless today to even think about spending 1 millisecond in a devil's hell today. This is what lies before all of us as mankind in the future. One is the near future, which is the judgment of the church. The other is in the slight distant future, which is the judgment of the lost, the Old Testament, and millennial saints. But on another level this morning of things coming to an end, this is where we want to focus. I say all that for what I've said just to establish the context of what Peter is writing in by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But now we want to draw this down into application for us today, right here in the present moment. There is soon coming an end of serving Jesus Christ in this world. There's coming an end of our life. There's coming an end of the church. The rapture is going to happen. There's going to come an end of our life. Our heart is going to beat for the very last time. There is an end of all things that is at hand. We understand that today. We understand it clearly. But with those things coming to an end, guys, there is a soon coming to an end of serving Jesus Christ in this world. We have been given the opportunity, again, no matter how long we live, no matter if we live 110 years old, and Nisi and I were talking about how long Moses lived and how long Abraham lived yesterday. They lived a long time, mind you, amen? And you go back to some of those men in the Old Testament, especially prior to the flood, they lived 800-900 years. Good night, man. They lived a long time. But guys, we're going to give an account for how we serve Jesus Christ in the days that we have been allotted on this earth. And it's coming to an end real soon, guys. There's coming an end to proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to the lost and dying world. Now, guys, listen, I know every one of you in here. I know you fairly well. I know some of you better. But I believe in all of my heart right now, all of my heart, that if this building caught fire, you would not silently sneak out the back door and tell no one else about it, would you? You would scream at the top of your lungs, fire, 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 and you would look to make sure everybody got out or got to a door. I believe you would do that because you love one another, amen. You would. But how oftentimes, how much during the day, how much during the week do we pass people who are making a step closer every moment, every minute, every second to the depths of a devil's hell, which they were never intended to go into, and we say nothing to warn them of what eternity has lying there. Think about it for a second. There's an end to proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior to the lost and dying. I mean, for that matter, there is an end of missionaries being sent across the globe. If you do any type of research and study on the missionaries that have been sent across this world, especially from this country here alone, thousands upon thousands, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled in the West by British missionaries. Amen. What a blessing it is. There's coming an end to missionaries being sent out across. There's coming an end of you given the opportunity to support missions through the local church. Beloved, if you're not supporting missions through the local church, you need to get busy doing it, because there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to do it anymore. There is going to come a time, there's coming an end to an opportunity to love your neighbor. You say, preacher, you said this is simple. That's real simple. It is simple. It is simple. There's going to come a time when you'll never be able to love your neighbor anymore. You won't be able to be kind to him or her. You won't be able to speak to them. You won't be able to see them and say, hey, hope you're having a great day today. There's going to come an end. That window's going to close, guys, to where you can invite somebody to the house of God. One by one by one by one, the pews will become empty, become empty, become empty. The end of all things is at hand. Brother, listen carefully to me this morning. The end of the window of this life is at hand. This day is drawing nigh. This day is drawing close. This moment that we have right here, right now, is going to be over with in the blink of an eye. Invitations to church, times to prayer, time to sing, giving, the end of all things is at hand. So, beloved, let me leave you with this thought this morning. I'm going to stop this right here and pick it up next week. I want you to stop and think about what you have enjoyed over the last two decades of your life. Maybe go back to, I tell you what, let's all go back to when we were 20 years old, okay? Sorry, Daniel and Bailey, you can't look there. Go back to when you were 10. So, go back to when you were 20. Go back to the things that you could do physically. That you could do physically. Walk, run, lift, work 15, 20 hours a day and go home, eat a big meal and get a good rest and get up and do it again. Amen. Good night. What it was like being 20, 25 years old. Amen. My friend Steve used to tell me when I was in my 30s and I was working about 60, 70 hours a week, running a church, having a family and running a business. He said, you're in your racehorse years now, but you're going to get too busy if you're not careful. And boy, I tell you, when Niecy and I were talking about it, I asked her, I think it was this morning or yesterday, I said, do you ever miss that lifestyle? I didn't really get an answer, to be honest with you, I don't think. I don't miss those busy years. You know why I don't really miss those years, guys? I can't do them anymore. Now, I can work as long and work as hard as the best of them today. I ain't saying much in today's society, amen, sorry. But I am saying this. I'm 49 years old, I'll be 50 in a few months. I can't do today what I could do at 20. The end of all things is at hand. We grow older. By God's grace, we live to have gray hair. By God's grace, we live to have no hair. By God's grace, we live longer in this world with the opportunity, the window to continue to broaden so that we can be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. But that window, guys, is coming to an end. We have a short period of time to exercise this charity that Peter speaks of, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. We have a short period of time to look, you know, we're going to have fellowship here in just a few minutes. We have a short period of time to sit and have a conversation and catch up with the last week's events. Because there's going to come a day when one of us or two of us are missing. I've told this story in times past, and I'll close with it today. I can remember in 2007, 29th of October, to be exact, if I'm not mistaken. It was the 28th or 29th, we had gotten over here to the UK for the first time. We came over here, and I had checked my corporate email. I had just sold my business to a large company. I sold it with the intentions to slow it down a little bit, spend more time in the ministry, come off a little bit of the hours. And I got a note that another guy who worked for the same company, about 50 miles from my office, actually 50 miles from one of my offices, but only a handful of miles from my second office, had died. Turned out he had pancreatic cancer, had been sick for a long time, didn't tell anyone. He slowed down as much as he could. He went home, guys, and he just died over the weekend. Denise and I had landed in Dublin. We drove up from there. We were picked up. We drove up from there to Ballyclare in Northern Ireland. And I checked the email the next morning, and I got the message. Now, this particular individual had been in Veterans Administration clinics with me, amputee clinics, and I'd see him at least every month in these different clinics. And we'd see his patients come through. He would see ours and so on and so on. I took over the office. I added it to my conglomerate or my bonus group. And I remember going to clinic the next month after we got back from here. Went to clinic and we were sitting in there. All the practitioners that were normally there was there, minus him. You know what happened, guys? Everything continued just as it did before. And it really split my heart open. It really made me to ponder and stop for just a moment. If I was to die at that very moment, my family would miss me, my church would miss me, my patients would miss me, and even my practitioner friends, they would miss me. No doubt that they would miss me, I'm sure. However, things are going to continue just as if they did when I was there. And beloved, that is how quick, and that is how precious, and that is how fragile time is. The opportunities and the windows that God has given us in this life today are not promised for the next second, but time will continue to move on, even though our life has come to an end. So my friend, let me encourage you today, this first part of this message, we'll finish it next Sunday. Let me encourage you to capitalize on the time that you've been given today, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. You say, well, preacher, if I die, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to rejoice. That's true. But beloved, if you die today, having not shared that gospel with your neighbor, having not shared that gospel with somebody you love, having not received that gospel, that opportunity is closed. Peter said, the end of all things is at hand, beloved. The end of all things is at hand. So we have a short opportunity today. I didn't get near as far as I wanted to. I wanted to give you 3 points on the rest of that verse. I'll give them to you next Sunday. But I hope and pray this plants a seed of urgency, a seed of expediency in your heart and in your life to take hold of the time that you've been allotted right here, right now, to use it for good, use it for the Lord Jesus Christ, to use it in the way that God has intended, lest that window close and you lose that opportunity. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberammon. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.